During the last few years, west central and southwestern Wisconsin have been a hotbed of frac sand mining activity. The industry, which had been around for 100 years or so, has grown so fast since 2010 that the state has been unable to pinpoint exactly how many mines, wash plants, and transload facilities are out there. According to estimates from the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Reporting, there are around 100 permitted facilities and 70 active operations, when just 5 years ago, there were just a handful. But frac sand and the interest in mining it isn't unique to Wisconsin. Southeastern Minnesota is starting to feel it too. But lawmakers and regulators in St. Paul are taking a very different tack in their approach to frac sand mining than that of Wisconsin. You see, Democrats in the Minnesota legislature have proposed a temporary statewide ban on frac sand mining. They're calling for state agencies to study the industry's impacts on quality, air quality, water quality, roads, and human health. None of this has happened, for the most part, in Wisconsin. In fact, there has been legislation introduced here that would make it harder for counties and towns to enact local moratoriums, and the DNR has declined citizen requests to create stricter silica dust standards. So what accounts for these fundamentally different approaches, and what is lost when regulations are left to local governments? What is lost when the state takes over? This hour, we dig in and hear a special report by Newsmakers host Maureen McCullum on how one community in southeastern Minnesota is reacting to frac sand mining during a special collaboration of the regional programs, WPR regional programs, the West Side in Eau Claire, and Newsmakers in La Crosse. I'm Rich Kramer, and joining me this hour is Democratic Minnesota State Senator Matt Schmidt. Senator Schmidt is a freshman senator, but has already made quite a splash with his bill that would create a statewide frac sand mining moratorium for 1 year and require environmental studies for new mines. Senator Schmidt, thank you for joining us.
Hey, Rich. It's good to be with you today.
Good to have you. Also joining us, I'd like to welcome Democrats State Senator from Wisconsin, Kathleen Vinehout, who is the only lawmaker in Madison to introduce legislation regarding the frac sand industry. Senator Vinehout, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you very much, Rich. It's good to be a part of this discussion.
And the program would not be complete this half hour without Rick Stottleman. We're going to introduce him. He is with the Wisconsin Towns Association, the executive director, that is. Rick Stottleman, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you for inviting me. Good afternoon.
Then after our break at the bottom of the hour, we're going to welcome on to the program We're going to introduce Kirsten Pauley of the Minnesota Industrial Sand Council. She is a with the frac sand lobby there. So it sounds like we're having a feedback issue, Kathleen Vinehout, if there is a person that could take care of that. We're having a bit of a technical difficulty. So we'll go back to Kathleen Vinehout in just a bit, and hopefully that gets taken care of. But also, I want our listeners to be part of this program. Listeners, do give us a call at 800-228-5615. Since we're doing a collaboration-type show, we have two stations and two listening areas that are able to comment on this discussion. What do you think of the statewide frac sand mining moratorium in Minnesota? Does it go far enough? Is it going too far? Is it something that we should look at in Wisconsin? Give us a call. Let us know. And why do you think the two states are taking such different approaches to this issue? Is it political? The number is 800-228-5615. And if you can't get in through the phone lines, do leave a message on the Westside Facebook page. Put it right on the wall so I can see it, and we'll get it on the air as soon as we can. Now, Senator Matt Schmidt, I want to start with you. The Wisconsin legislature has largely been absent from discussions about regulating and even studying frac sand mining, even though we've got nearly 100 operations here. But in Minnesota, you and other lawmakers are taking a very different approach with bills circulating right now in St. Paul. Why is that? And if you could, guide us through what the differences are.
Well, Rich, thanks for the question, and thanks for spending time on this issue today. I have to tell you, first and foremost, I have to recognize the fact that, first of all, we've been mining in Minnesota for a long time. We have a thing up on the North Shore called the Iron Range, and we've been extracting a variety of minerals in Minnesota, including sand and aggregate. What gives us pause right now is just looking across the river and just seeing the dramatic uptick in mining activity related to the extraction of silica sand. And I think few times in life do you have an opportunity to see a challenge coming before it hits you, to hit the pause button and to ask the right questions, get the appropriate answers, and be able to move forward with clarity. So the reason that we're taking this issue up is really to learn lessons from Wisconsin's experience with silica sand mining. And when there's an uptick in demand for silica sand down the road, we're prepared to handle it at the local level in terms of our permitting decisions, our ordinances that are in place, and exactly establishing what role we have for state agencies to contribute to the decision-making process.
So how did this year-long moratorium come about? I don't think it was included in the original bill. Wasn't your original bill going to give the local governments the opportunity to extend their own local ordinances or moratoriums?
That's right. What we proposed in our original legislation was a generic environmental impact statement that gets at questions regarding air quality, water usage, and threats to water, and also traffic volume impacts on a regional scale, hence the generic environmental impact statement. That's one approach. We also called for the creation of a regional board or task force that would bring local decision makers together with state agency experts so that we could craft a more regional comprehensive approach to dealing with this issue. Because after all, the sand doesn't end at the county lines. You know, it's transported across local jurisdictions. The water or the air doesn't stop at local political boundaries. So we thought a regional approach, a regional discussion would be helpful in creating a model ordinance. And then we've also, in the original legislation, we set about to identify specific state standards and roles for state agencies. And we also had given local units of government the authority to extend moratoria during this period so that we could study it. And it became clear, and the bill was amended to include a statewide moratorium of 1 year that we could hit the pause button and discuss how to move forward together and answer these questions regarding the air and water quality and impacts on our roads and our communities. And that's how the moratorium was added to the bill in its first hearing.
All right. Now before we get it deeper into the conversation of the differences between Minnesota and Wisconsin and the reasons that one state is taking the approach they are versus the other, I want to kind of get into more of a macro look at this and the reason why some of the folks in Minnesota are calling for the state to take more of an active role. We look to the one Minnesota county that's dealing with the frac sand issue, and that's Houston County. The Board of Commissioners there recently extended a one-year moratorium on frac sand mining. They say they want to have all the questions answered regarding the industry's effects before drafting local ordinances. We have a report from Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter in La Crosse, one of the reporters in La Crosse, Maureen McCollum. And she went to the meeting in Houston County, and she has more.
Rural Houston County sits in the southeastern corner of Minnesota along the Mississippi River. Its geography mirrors its neighbor, La Crosse, Wisconsin, with towering bluffs, rolling hills, and a patchwork of farms. As part of the driftless region, it also has a healthy amount of silica sand, the product used to extract oil and natural gas through fracking in other parts of the U.S. There are already a number of existing sand pits in Houston County, but the county has had a year-long moratorium on frac sand mining and unanimously extended it for another year earlier this month.
One of the things I hope that the frac sand study committee might do going forward.
On a snowy morning, about 15 people braved the slippery roads to attend a Houston County Commissioner's meeting. A few people took turns addressing the five-member board, most testifiers thanking the commissioners for their work on the mining issue. No one from the frac sand industry attended. Houston County Commissioner Justin Zimieski says after watching what he calls a frac sand industry free-for-all take place in Wisconsin, he says Minnesota counties are taking steps to make sure they develop solid regulations.
I think that's one of the big things that Minnesota is doing right is a lot of the counties now are starting to get together and say, okay, we need to slow down. Okay, there's a rush, but we need to step aside and say, what's the right thing to do? How do we do this so that it's not going to affect people?
So Houston County set up a frac sand study committee a year ago to find data and help answer questions. Houston resident Kelly Stanage is a committee member who's trying to find and conduct research.
There are so many issues. Health and safety are top in most people's minds.
The county wants to know if frac sand mining could affect aquifers, Stanage says processing frac sand often uses chemicals that could be harmful if exposed to the sun or if they enter water sources. Stanage says they also want to know more about the possible effects on air quality, not only from the mining, but the constant truck traffic.
Silica dust has been studied as a danger in the occupational setting, but has not been studied widely as a public health issue. And when you're talking about the exponentially higher amounts of sand being carried around because of frac sand mining, this needs to be studied as a public health issue as well.
The county also wants to know mining's effects on the roads, home values, and local economy. Commissioner Zimieski says they want to get answers straightened out before developing any ordinances.
If it does take place and roads are degraded to an extent, who picks up that bill? If the aquifer is contaminated, who's going to pay for that? You know, so again, Houston County just wants to make sure that this isn't on the backs of the taxpayers. For some people to make millions of dollars at the expense of taxpayers, I don't necessarily think is fair either. So, you know, we got to be cognizant of that and make sure that we all work in harmony to make sure that this can be beneficial to both parties.
The county still has many unanswered questions about the effects of frac sand mining, and that's why the commissioners extended the moratorium. That's also why Zimieski supports proposed state legislation in Minnesota that would conduct environmental and economic studies on frac sand mining, yet allow continued local control. One company, Minnesota Sands, has identified five potential mining sites in Houston County. The most popular site is the Erickson Mine. Repeated attempts to contact the Erickson family and Minnesota Sands owner, Rick Frick, went unreturned. Frick owns a number of other frac sand-related companies that promote mining and processing in southeastern Minnesota. Maureen McCollum, Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse.
Thank you very much for that, Maureen. And I want to go back to Senator Schmidt of Minnesota. You've heard a lot of these concerns before. They've been echoed in Wisconsin for years now. My question is, if a county like Houston County is already extending their moratorium, why do we need it statewide?
Well, the issue is we have a number of communities who have extended their moratoria already to 2 years. And in statute, that's as far as they can go. They have a year to impose a local moratorium, and then they have a year to extend it. And I have resolutions coming to me from local units of government up and down the river in southeastern Minnesota, you know, asking for very specific things. One, you know, a statewide moratorium. Secondly, a generic environmental impact statement that we mentioned before. And then third, specific state standards that that clarify the role for state agencies in helping us make these decisions at the local level. So the idea here would be to hit the pause button, study this, answer these questions, and get on with it and provide some clarity for moving forward.
Now, listeners, we are taking calls. We haven't gotten to them quite yet. We've got full phone lines, so if you have a question or comment, don't be shy and do call in, but also you can post them on the Westside Facebook page. Senator Vinehout, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay.
You got
we had some technical difficulties, but you're coming through loud and clear now. What is with the difference in approaches to the frac sand mining industry? How is it so different from one state to the other with regards to the role that the state legislature and lawmakers are taking?
Well, I think the environment right now in Wisconsin is very different, the political environment, than it is in Minnesota. There's generally been a big push with Governor Walker to create jobs at all costs, and I think that a lot of people, especially the Republican lawmakers in western Wisconsin, see that this is a great opportunity to create jobs. What is happening, though, is really what I would call substitution effect, where we're losing some jobs while we're creating other jobs, and a lot of the jobs that are being lost are jobs in tourism and just tourist opportunities, and I think we need to balance our approach, and that's what I've taken with the bills that I've created.
And let's talk a little bit briefly about the bills that you've created. You introduced two last session. What happened with those?
Well, neither one of the bills had a committee hearing. I am ready to start over right now. On Monday, I will be releasing a six-point plan that involves five different bills that are going to be made public that will circulate on Monday and will be introduced shortly after that. So it's a new legislative session, and we're starting over.
Okay. And you mentioned to me, at least, before that you have three other bills that you're going to introduce. If you could give us a real quick rundown of what these bills would do, Senator Vinehout, for Wisconsin, please go.
You bet. My focus has been responding to my constituents that tell me that there's a sand mine going in my neighborhood and I didn't know about it and I didn't have any voice in it. So I am creating different ways to change the law in Wisconsin so that people are able to know what's happening and be involved in the decisions that are being made. One of the bills has to do with being able to know what you're buying. I've had landowners that have told me that they bought new pieces of property, put up an almost $200,000 home, and then found out that three of their adjoining neighbors had contracts with sand mines. So this would be a disclosure on property. Another bill has to do with knowing the future plans in the community, and this is authorizing the local counties to be able to register prospectors and exploration so that all of that would become public record before the sand mine even went beyond the planning stages that was just in the prospecting stage. Another bill has to do with the changes in zoning to make sure that there's always a conditional use permit process that mm-hmm. happens. Another bill has to do with making sure that if there is a hearing that that notice of hearing has been published in a Class 2 notice, which basically means two inserts in the local paper and a written notice sent by first-class mail to property owners within a mile. And then finally, the last bill has to do with the right to have a peaceful home, and that's creating a setback or a buffer zone of 2,500 feet from the edge of the mine to a single-family or residential dwelling.
Okay. And Rick Stottleman, since we've got you on the line here, the hour is moving along quicker than I thought it would, but you represent the Wisconsin Towns Association, which advocates for local control and helps local governments deal with issues like frac sand mining. You've held a big seminar with the Wisconsin Farmers Union for town officials, county officials, to get educated on this. What are the benefits of local governments having the majority of the siting and permitting authority with regards to frac sand mining?
Well, I'm not certain that it's a majority. I think it's important to understand that in Wisconsin, we've had some state permits for air permits. We've had water quantity permits for large, high-capacity wells. We've had stormwater erosion control standards in place. We've had reclamation requirements for non-metallic mines for about 12 years or better. And so those are kind of state requirements that exist. I'm not certain how that compares with what Minnesota has. Certainly, with the proliferation we have in state, there's always concerns whether these standards are strong enough and are particularly applicable or protect people in the nature of this industry. And I've heard, you know, you mentioned earlier there was a request, a petition to the DNR board, our Natural Resources Board, for higher silica standards, which we really don't have in Wisconsin, a fugitive dust kind of standard. Mm-hmm. Our purpose, though, and what we did two sessions actually in December of 2011 and last January, was to make sure that towns were out there aware of what they could do. The reference to moratoriums, we have no clear statutory authority, but under our village powers, which was reinforced by a Supreme Court decision last February, towns can adopt ordinances for public health and safety. And we've had a lot of towns and some counties that have adopted moratoriums pending adoption of local ordinances. Now, with the benefit of the local ordinances, we've had some that have implied or applied the state standards, although the permits are actually approved and issued by the state, and the oversight is provided for the state for air, water quantity, and the soil erosion control, but we're making sure that those state requirements are complied with. The things we've been able to get with local licensing are really some agreements that can go beyond what maybe has been done in other places with this industry. We've had industries that have been willing to come in and provide agreements for diminution of value for the neighbors, if there is a pact on neighbors' values. We've had agreements including water quality issues, that if wells may be impacted, the replacement of the wells. And one of our strongest issues, and Senator from Minnesota referred to it, is we have pretty strong authority on our highways, our local highways that already exist, and we've been able to force the companies that are using local roads, town and county roads, to reach agreements to rebuild the roads and maintain them as part of an agreement or impose weight limits. So maybe one of the things that may be a little different from the state of Wisconsin is that some of the state standards were in place before, and some of the local authorities that we had have been in place. And again, it's the idea that we want to protect citizens as well, and partly because the legislature in Wisconsin was actually in a short session last year, didn't really get to the bills as Senator Meinhout referred to. We felt it important to get out there and get towns and counties up front and adopt what they could under that law and what we had authority for.
But I'm wondering about, like, I don't know if I want to call it a fair fight or maybe a negotiation or what have you, but when you've got a town board of three people, whether they have police powers or not, and there's a company, a national or a multinational, you know, energy company that wants to build a frac sand mine, I mean, is there some kind of the balance of power there would seem that it would tip towards the large company?
I think the response to that is we've had similar kind of David and Goliath fights over the years when we've had landfill sited since the 1980s with the engineered landfills. We're having large farms sited and these companies and large farms come in, and we've had state preemption of that. And so I got to say that the conflicts in land use can have often had money behind one the applicant versus the locals, but because we felt it important to get out there and protect ourselves as much as possible, we were encouraging towns to adopt moratoriums, encouraging towns to adopt licensing ordinances under what we thought were valid authority. Mm-hmm. I appreciate Senator Vineout's efforts to try to give as much notice and control. I think those are things that, you know, actually add transparency to the whole process. And so that type of thing is good. I think some of the debate in Wisconsin may come about is, are we going to have to toughen up some of the standards? We've had some erosion control problems at a number of sites, but we have erosion control in other industries. Air permits are being questioned because whether we and show whether or not we actually have impacts from fugitive dust is still up for air for questions, and I think that'll be part of the debate that'll go on. The reclamation requirements, which we've had, have been pretty good from sand mine or for sand and gravel. Mm-hmm. We just haven't started closing these frac sand mines and won't for 25 to 30 years. But we have standards in place that, you know, can exist. So we'll have to see how that plays out over time.
Senator Vineout, you wanted to chime in and as well on this?
Well, I completely agree with you, Rich. I think it is a David and Goliath, and I think it's very hard for the local people to be able to say, I have the technical expertise to go up against the engineer from the oil and gas industry, and there's no way the local people can compete with the money. We're seeing money like we've never seen before in Western Wisconsin that gets spread around in ways that sometimes make you question whether or not the conflict of interest laws have and the boundaries of those laws have been crossed with the local elected officials. And I don't want to blame anybody, but I've certainly seen a lot of questions come to me about how close some of those local elected officials have gotten to feathering their own nest.
Mm. All right. Well, with that, we're going to take our first break of the hour. We're talking about two very different approaches that Minnesota and Wisconsin are taking towards frac sand mining. And Minnesota's taking a heavy regulatory approach at the state level, while Wisconsin has taken more of a local control approach. Our guests this hour include Wisconsin State Senator Kathleen Vineout and Minnesota State Senator Matt Schmidt, who I hope can stick with us for a bit longer. I understand that he might have to take to run and vote at the state capitol as they are on deadline right now, but hopefully he can stick with us as long as possible. We're going to say goodbye to Rick Settlement of the Wisconsin Towns Association. Rick, thank you so much for joining us this half hour. I appreciate it. Also, after the break, we're going to introduce Kirsten Pauley, and she is a representative of the Minnesota Industrial Sand Council, kind of a lobby for the frac sand industry. And we're going to get to your calls. I promise, folks, that I see that you're on the line, and we will get to you as quick as we can. This is a special collaboration of the West Side in Eau Claire and Newsmakers in La Crosse. I'm Rich Kramer. We'll be back in just a bit.
Hello, Wisconsin. I'm Gwen Ifill from PBS NewsHour and Washington Week. Have you explored WisconsinVote.org? It's the state's ultimate unbiased source for election news and information. You can find voting resources, candidate profiles, and news from trusted national and local news sources like PBS NewsHour, Here and Now, and Wisconsin Public Radio. Find it all at wisconsinvote.org.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from Honda Motor Works in La Crosse, offering the all-new 2012 Honda CR-V, engineered for fuel efficiency and safety. Four-wheel drive is available. Get more miles per dollar at Honda Motor Works.
Support also comes from Wisconsin Credit Union, offering checking accounts that include a debit card, online banking and bill payment, call 24 phone access, automatic payments, direct deposit, and more. WisconsinCU.org.
America invaded Iraq in March 2003, but 10 years on, questions linger. Were we prepared? What was our mission? Did we succeed? What's the state of post-war Iraq? I'm Jim Fleming. Next time on To the Best of Our Knowledge, those 10 years from the perspective of American boots on the ground. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge, Sunday at noon on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Is your car doing strange things?
And it's like backing off, and then it's sort of like stuttering, like...
It's been a long winter, hi, Andy. Been a long winter. You've had a lot of time to...
Getting a little lonely up there.
Join us for more keen yet sensitive analysis this week on Car Talk.
Car Talk is on the air Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock, right here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Stay tuned. The second part of this special edition of The West Side and Newsmakers coming up in just a moment here on Wisconsin Public Radio, supported in part by attorney Heidi Eglash in La Crosse, providing guidance in advance directives, wills, trusts, estate planning, and probate. 608-782-6110 or eglashlawoffice.com.
Support also comes from the Eau Claire Children's Theater, presenting the musical classic Hello, Dolly! At the State Theater from April 4th through the 7th. Tickets and additional information are available online at ecct.org.
I'm Rich Kramer, and you're listening to a special collaboration of WPR regional programs, The West Side in Eau Claire, and Newsmakers in La Crosse. We're talking this hour about two different approaches that Minnesota and Wisconsin are taking towards the frac sand mining industry. In Minnesota, the Democrats have control of the legislature and have proposed a statewide frac sand mining moratorium and some mandatory environmental impact reviews and statements for all new mine sites. I believe it's over 40 acres. In Wisconsin, the state has stayed pretty much hands-off for the most part, other than air and water quality permitting through the DNR, leaving the majority of regulations to local towns and counties. So we've already delved into some of those different approaches that the states are taking and a little bit about the pros and cons of state versus local control. But now we're going to hear from the industry's side of the story, and we're going to get into some of your calls. I'd like to welcome now to the program Kirsten Pauly, and she is with the Minnesota Industrial Sand Council, which was created earlier this year to address concerns about frac sand mining. Kirsten Pauly, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And also with us for the remainder of the hour, hopefully, is Minnesota State Senator Matt Schmidt. Are you still there, Matt?
I'm still here.
All right, I appreciate it. And also Minnesota, Wisconsin State Senator Kathleen Weinhout is on the program as well. Listeners, we're going to start working through your calls right now. If you'd like to call in, it's 800-228-5615. If the phone lines are busy, as they are right now, do check out the West Side Facebook page. That is the West Side Facebook page. You can put a question or comment on our wall. So now we're going to go to the phones, and first we're going to take a call from Linda in Baraboo. Linda, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Hi. Yes, I'm calling on behalf of CultureWorks, Inc., which is a nonprofit that was organized in order to explore and protect the effigy mounds of Wisconsin.
Okay.
In the lower Wisconsin Riverway, precisely the area that's proposed to be mined, is a wealth of ancient effigy mounds that were built 1,200 years ago. These aren't simply the burials of people who lived long ago. They're actually the burials of the ancestors of people who are still living today in Wisconsin. This issue is being totally ignored in all the debate about frac sand mining. We do have burial preservation law in Wisconsin, thankfully, or the sites would be destroyed altogether, that protects burial mounds within a 5-foot perimeter around them.
Mm-hmm.
However, no testing whatsoever has been done on the effects of regular blasting and heavy machinery within that proximity to these ancient sites.
Okay. Well, let me take it there and put that to Kathleen Vinehout. And Senator Vinehout, is that an issue that has come up before? Because it's a new one to me, the idea that this frac sand mining might disrupt some of these effigy mounds.
Yes, Rich, actually it has. I serve as a member of the State Tribal Relations Committee, which is the committee with the legislature, the only committee that where I actually get to deal with international issues. And our 11 tribes in the state are sovereign nations, and our work together is working out that relationship between sovereign nations. When I've talked with members of different tribes, one of the concerns that they've told me about is the difficulty in mapping the burial grounds. So right now when we're working on these very large mines in western Wisconsin, one of the concerns is that we don't have the information to be able to say that for certain this area is not a burial ground. And all up and down the Mississippi, the first Americans, the Native Americans, traveled and as they traveled, buried their dead. And sometimes there were very sacred sites where many, many mounds were in one place. And right now, Linda's absolutely right. This has not been much of the public discussion, but it is definitely on the minds of many of our Native American leaders.
You may have information related to the locations of those mounds, so please be in touch with me.
All right. Definitely, you two should connect, Kathleen Vinehout and Linda of Baraboo. Thank you very much for the call, Linda. We're going to move on to Winona, and we've got... I think it's the first caller we've had from Minnesota on the west side, and that makes sense because we're doing a collaborative show here, and the signal in La Crosse makes it well into Minnesota. So, Jim, you're on the air. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you, Rich. And I wanted to thank Senator Schmidt for his bill. He's worked very hard on this, and he's standing up for the people in southeast Minnesota. So I strongly support his bill. And in fact, I don't think it actually goes far enough, but I think it's an excellent bill. I think since there are so many questions and research has not been done in a lot of the areas in terms of the health and safety issues of frac sand, I believe that governments need to err on the side of safety and caution. And a lot of times with frac sand mining, the government will say, well, we don't know if silica or how this will affect people living near a mine in terms of their lungs, or we're not sure about this, or we don't know about that. And instead of saying, and since we don't know, we will err on the side of caution, support the people, and not permit these facilities until we do know. Instead, they have been and I've been to many, many, many hearings and other meetings, and local governments, at least over here, have tended to, many of them say, well, we're going to err on the side of giving industry whatever they want. And all harkens back to what Senator Vinehout said is the inequity, the David and Goliath. When you're whether it's a city council, whether it's a county board or a township board, if you're facing a huge, huge threat of a lawsuit from from the richest industry in the world, there's no way that you're going to oppose them. Because the citizens, I've been at hearings where 95% of the people testifying are much, much against frac sand mining. And then the local government will go ahead and permit the facility. So that is crazy. And I think we've had too much corporate abuse of power. Corporations rule the roost. And I think that it's time that local governments and state governments take a look at what is good for the health, safety, and welfare of the people, the citizens who elected them. Because these frac sand and oil and gas opportunists did not elect them.
All right, Jim, thank you so much for the call. Senator Schmidt, a couple of laurels sent your way there. Any reaction?
Well, I'd just say, I'm trying to get this right. And I'm not picking sides here. I know that this is a passion issue that folks are really, opinionated about. But I think that we, in my angle on this, take a step back and just really focus on the local impact of mining silica sand in southeastern Minnesota and answering some of these questions that have been raised. And, I think there's a lot of other, related and tangential questions that arise here. But I'm just trying to focus in on the impacts on our local communities of mining.
All right. And I want to go to Kirsten Pauly here because we've heard a lot about the concerns about frac sand mining. But what is the impact or what would be the impact of a statewide frac sand mining moratorium in Minnesota to the industry and to businesses that are members of the Minnesota Industrial Sand Council?
Well, the impact of a moratorium would be additional delays in moving projects forward. In Minnesota, to get a project off the ground and permitted, there's quite a bit of time and money that is invested prior to getting any of the permits. And it's a little different than Wisconsin just because of the environmental review that's required if any of the projects are over 40 acres in size or more. An environmental assessment worksheet is required. And if the project is greater than 160 acres or more, an environmental impact statement is required.
Mm-hmm.
And those studies on the mines that have been through the process and permitted, those environmental studies take anywhere from, if it's just an environmental assessment worksheet, it's usually a 18-month to two-year process. And then some of the larger environmental impact statements have taken up to 4 years. And so there are a few projects that have been underway for the last couple years in the middle of a very specific site-specific environmental studies, and the stopping everything for a year and putting it on hold is just further delay for some of those projects that have already invested quite a bit of time and money.
And this kind of investment, I mean, I imagine there's jobs at stake as well.
Of course there are. Each project is different in terms of how large it is, how big of a processing facility would be, and how many employees. But for the most part, these are projects that would employ anywhere from 40 to 70 additional good-paying, high-quality jobs.
Kirsten, why do you think the citizens, at least the ones that are commenting here and at some of the public hearings, why do you think they want a more regulation or a statewide moratorium on frac sand mining in Minnesota?
Well, I think because there are genuine concerns, and I think that's not a bad thing. I don't think that the public expressing concerns and demanding that the local government and the state agencies take a good hard look at these projects is at all unreasonable. And so I'm sure that's the root of it. And I think that they're doing a good job in making sure that the local governments and the state agencies are scrutinizing these projects, and that if there are potential issues, that there are measures and conditions put in place on the various permits that are required that adequately mitigate any potential impacts and monitor to make sure that the conditions are effective.
I'd like to go back to the phones right now. Guests, we're going to hear from Pete in La Crosse. And Pete, you're on the air. Thanks for hanging on the line. What's on your mind?
Hi, Rich. And yes, here in Wisconsin, we can thank Governor Walker for prohibiting the siting of utility-scale wind turbines within 1,800 feet of homes, because they make noise and they're ugly. What is the minimum distance between homes and a proposed sand mine? What are those laws today? I'm guessing that it's a whole lot less than the 2,500-foot goal, which was mentioned at the earlier in the hour.
That's a great question. I'm going to put that to Senator Vinehorn.
The answer is that state regulations on setback, and the bill that I created would be the first to put the setback in statute.
So
right now it's all determined by the local ordinance.
Whether as in zoning or just the agreement that is forged with the frac sand mining operation?
I suppose it could be done by either.
Okay. All right. There you go, Pete. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Also, we're going to go now to Colfax, and we've got Brenda on the line. Brenda, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in to the West Side Newsmakers Collaboration here.
Thank you.
What's on your mind?
I have a question on reclamation.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if someone can answer to me where there has been some reclaimed land, and as they're going through these mines, how many acres can they do before they start reclaiming? because I'm concerned that the land is going to be not usable.
Okay. Brenda, thank you for that. And again, back to Senator Vinehout, since this is the Wisconsin-centric question. As far as frac sand mining is concerned, Senator, do we have any examples of reclaimed mines? I think we spoke a little bit about that earlier.
No. For the most part, everything that we're talking about is new. It's so new that a lot of the mines have just barely gotten off the ground. There are a few mines, just a handful, that have been around for a long time period. But there are no rules, Brenda, on how much can be open at one time or how quickly the reclamation has to happen. All of this would be something that would be ironed out in a case-by-case basis as that conditional use permit came to each individual municipality, which is, of course, one of the problems we're facing right now is that local citizens have to be very careful about what's happening in their neighborhood because something could happen that they might not support. And really, right now, the only course is to show up at the local meetings and raise hell.
And that has happened quite a bit. And actually, there's been some really impressive groundwork among people that are opposed. There's been a lot of organization at the local level as far as the people that are concerned about frac sand mining. I want to go back to Matt Schmidt, senator from Minnesota. And the regulations that are in place, there was a piece in Minnesota Public Radio done by them that shows that regulations already are much stronger on frac sand mining, or more. I don't know. They're tougher than they are in Wisconsin as far as frac sand mining. Do we get to a point ever that where we go a little overboard, and then you do sacrifice the investment in the state by this industry?
Well, I think that's a good question, Rich, and I thanks for raising it. You know, Minnesota, I think, does have a stronger standards and state laws in place. And I think there's a reason why we've seen so much activity in the last couple of years regarding silica sand mining in Wisconsin versus Minnesota. But the question remains, when the demand for silica sand ticks up here in the years ahead, as it's expected to, are we in a position to adequately permit and have ordinances in place for this? And the concern here is that we still don't know what we need to know about impacts on water and on air quality, and on our regional roads. And I think there's a fear that if you have a lot of trucks either crossing the border from Wisconsin into Minnesota and dumping sand and stockpiles, putting it onto trains and processing it in the meantime, you know, what's the impact that is that going to have on our local communities? Similarly, if we have a infrastructure in place and in mines spread up all around southeastern Minnesota, are we knowing what we're getting into? And I think that this is an opportunity for us to slow things down a little bit and answer those questions and just make sure that we've got our facts straight before we go forward. And I think that there's certainly a role for sand mining in southeastern Minnesota in the future, but we've got to make sure we know what we're getting into. And as I had said previously, this is a great opportunity for us to answer a couple of these questions and have a clear path moving forward.
Kirsten, Pauly, do you think that there needs to be more study on things like the water quality issues, the air quality, silica dust issues, or do you think that's already been done at local levels in Wisconsin and Minnesota, or do you think the state really needs to be involved in further study?
Well, I think with the environmental review program that's in place, those things do get studied on a site-specific basis. When you talk about things like slowing down to answer questions about traffic and the trucks, there's several, there's a couple sites that have been permitted in Minnesota, as well as a couple other projects that are in the middle of the permitting process, that are all located on rail lines, and they don't haul on the roads. And so to stop the progress of that permitting to study traffic for sites that are located 150 miles away doesn't seem to make sense. Similar situation is water. If you're in an area that there's karst and there's trout streams, if those sites are being proposed, those issues need to be studied specifically with what is being proposed with that project. And if you're in an area that doesn't have karst and not near trout streams, I don't think that project should be put on hold while the state studies something
that isn't an issue. And that's not to say that these other projects don't have their own site-specific areas that need to be studied thoroughly, but I think that's where our existing environmental review program really shines, is that it takes each project and looks at the environmental conditions around that particular project and performs a thorough assessment of them.
I'd like to go back to the phones now. We, by the way, listeners, we do have one open phone line at this point. The number is 800-228-5615 to call in with your question or comment. We probably can only take one or two more calls before the program ends at the top of the hour. But right now we've got Willem on the phone from Colfax. Willem, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Well, I think the difference between Minnesota and Wisconsin is that Minnesota seems to be looking out for the citizens of the, seem to be looking out for the citizens of their state, where our state, our governor and the legislature are looking out for the interest of the mining companies. So I think that's one large district difference. And I understand that Governor Walker's also appointed some more people to help facilitate the sand industry in the state.
Yeah,
the thing that I really wanted to comment on is that things are happening so fast where I live, close to Cooks Valley, where if anybody wants to see what this is going to look like, you should take a trip to Cooks Valley or check out this documentary with also photos of a mine at a place called thepriceofsand.com. Mm. And when I expressed my concerns to Senator Moulton about the fact that they put two sand processing plants in the village of New Auburn within like a half a mile upwind of the elementary school where children play in the playground every day, he said that was fear-mongering, when it's a well-known fact that silica dust is it causes lung problems over long-term exposure. And so I think that this is happening really, really fast, and I think that our governor, this sort of cynical local control, pitting local boards against the huge interests of the oil and gas people, is really a big concern. The other thing that I think hardly ever gets mentioned is the fact that there are plans to export this sand. So mm-hmm. people think this is just for our domestic use. And they're removing whole ridges permanently from our, there's no restoration. These are permanently removed. First they clear cut all the forest, and then they remove the whole ridge.
All right, Willem, thank you very much for the call. I want to get to Senator Vinehout for a response. First of all, is this political? I mean, is the difference in the approaches from Minnesota and Wisconsin, is it based on the fact that Minnesota is currently controlled by the Democratic Farm Labor Party, and Wisconsin is controlled, the legislature is controlled by Republicans, conservative Republicans that are very pro-business?
Well, I think that there is a different ideology among some Republicans and some Democrats, but really protecting the public is something that everyone who is given the responsibility of representing others in government, that's really their responsibility. It's their job to think, what is the people's best interest, and to weigh the balance on every decision that we make. So I would certainly hope that everyone who held an elected office at every level of government steps back and thinks, what is the best interest of the public? That means not only the business that is the sand mine, but the business that is tourism, the business that is the farmer, the neighbor, the person who drinks the water, the children in the playground, the older people who have sand in the air and can't breathe. That's our job. Our job is to balance all of those interests and put the people's interests first. And it pains me to no end to see situations where that does not happen among my colleagues.
And, at these hearings in Minnesota, Senator Vinehout, I've heard many times that folks in Minnesota don't want what happened in western Wisconsin to happen to them. And their explanation of that is that there was a complete overrun of the industry. What are your thoughts on that, real quick?
Well, I know the people in St. Charles, when they argued against this, one of the mine owners said, well, we'll go to Wisconsin where people and communities really want this. And I take issue with that because 95% of the constituents who have contacted me are opposed to the sand mine. So I don't think the people in Wisconsin feel differently than the people in Minnesota. I think the difference is among the leaders right now. And there's an ideology that's driving some of our leaders in Wisconsin to think of nothing but the promise of jobs and not to think of the future and not to think of the substitution of jobs when we have tourism industries that have to close up shop because they've lost their business because of the mines.
All right. Now, Senator Schmidt, I wanted to know, included in your legislation or any companion legislation that's in the Minnesota House or the Senate, is there any provisions where it would require the Department of Health there in Minnesota to study ambient silica dust standards, such as for PM2.5, which is respirable silica, the silica so small that you can actually breathe it into your lungs and it actually enters your bloodstream?
Yeah, Rich, there is actually a provision for that. We're asking the Department of Health to establish a clear standard for PM4 particulate matter. And, of course, this is a known carcinogen in a closed environment in an occupational setting. We just don't know if this is safe or if it's dangerous in an open environment where it's blowing around. I'd like to believe it's safe, but we just don't know that. And that's one of those unknowns that, you know, keeps coming up in our local decision, in our local discussions on this issue. And I think for us to be able to move forward, we need to spend the time to get a clear answer to that question, as well as questions relating to water quality and quantity and also the traffic issues and the economic impact. I think the point was raised earlier by the Senator from Wisconsin about substitution effects. This isn't just about adding jobs. This is about the threat to losing jobs, too, in a tourism economy in southeastern Minnesota. So, you know, I can't stress this enough. This is, you know, one of those opportunities in life we have to get it right, to ask the questions ahead of time, not to ask the question, why didn't we do something when we had the chance? And that's why we're taking the time to talk about this in the legislature right now. And we have very specific things we're asking our agencies to do, very specific questions we want to get answers to in studies. And I think this process is going to be very beneficial for everybody involved, whether it's industry or local decision makers or concerned citizens. We want a clear path forward. We want answers to these unknown questions. And I think we're setting up a process to get just there.
All right. Well, I wish we had more time, folks, for this program. Thank you all very much. That's our time. I'd like to thank my guests for their part in this important Frac Sand discussion, including Kirsten Pauley of the Minnesota Industrial Sand Council, Minnesota State Senator Matt Schmidt, and Wisconsin State Senator Kathleen Vinehout. Thank you all for taking the time. I'd also like to thank Rick Stuttleman for participating in the first half, Rick Stuttleman of the Wisconsin Towns Association. And a big thanks to all of the people that helped make this program possible this hour. That is including the folks in Eau Claire like Mort Cypress, Henry Lippold, Hannah Weichel, Grace Fair, Hillary Cruzan. I'm going to forget somebody. But also the thanks to the folks in La Crosse, Maureen McCollum, John Gatto, Steve Roysom, John Davis, Tammy Bartles. You guys are great. This is the West Side and Newsmakers talking about frac sand. Thanks for listening, folks. We'll chat again next week.